Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. If a man die, shall he live again? That question was asked by Job, recorded in the book of Job, chapter 14 and verse 14. I suppose all of us have at one time or another asked that question. We ask it as we are by the grave of those whom we bury. There have been various explanations given by people as to what immortality is. Some say we're immortal only in the sense that the human race continues after we are gone. Others say that we continue to live but only in the memory of those who knew us. Still others contend that our immortality is merely a continuation of our influence after our death. But now, what does the Bible teach about the immortality of the human being? Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7, "The dust returneth to the earth as it was, and the spirit returneth unto God who gave it." The death of the body does not mean the cessation of the existence of the spirit of man. We need to understand that. Death means there is a separation of the body from the spirit. James 2 and verse 26, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." Now Jesus taught in John chapter 5, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Friend, there will be the resurrection of all, both the good and the bad, and the consequences will then be suffered or enjoyed. Now, certainly this contends for the existence after physical death. "Both the good and the evil shall be raised," Jesus said. "Both entered into judgment," Jesus said. And they are separated there because one enters into life and the other enters into damnation. Now, that's what Jesus taught. He showed that there is the existence of the spirit of man after physical death. Now, when Lazarus died, Jesus told the sisters, "Thy brother shall rise again." Well, when Martha heard that, she said to him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." But Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" John chapter 11. Now Martha knew there would be a resurrection, and that would occur on the last day. But friend, there's no way to deny the continued existence of man beyond the grave, unless, of course, you just flatly contradict the Son of God, which is not a recommendable procedure. Jesus said, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." God is not the God of the dead, but of the living, Matthew 22, verse 23. Now, at the time that Jesus spoke these words, these Old Testament patriarchs had been physically dead many years. Yet, Jesus said God was the God of the living, and that God was still their God, and therefore they must still exist somewhere and lived in some sort of situation personally, individually, realistically. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that's the great chapter where the Holy Spirit, through the writer, tells us about the resurrection. Paul taught the reality of the resurrection. And in his concluding remarks, he said, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 53. Moses was the man that led the people of Israel from Egyptian bondage. He wandered with them for 40 years in the wilderness. But because of his own transgression, he was not allowed to enter into the promised land. He died, and the Lord buried him. Yet, hundreds of years later, after John the Baptist had been born and he had come and announced that Jesus as the Christ, the Lamb of God, Christ having been born in Bethlehem and having reached manhood and coming to the mount where he was transfigured, he had a conversation with Moses. And not only with Moses, but also the great prophet Elijah, who also had been physically dead a long time ago. Now, the Bible says, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up unto a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. He was changed. His face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Such is the record in Matthew chapter 17. Now who can read this and doubt for a moment that the Bible teaches there is life after physical death and the immortality of the spirit of man, even though the body has died? Now, friend, you may not agree with what the Bible teaches, but no honest man can deny that the Bible teaches the immortality of man's spirit. What are you worth? Now, I'm not concerned with what amount of material wealth you may have accumulated. We're talking about the most valuable of all things of your existence. What material possessions we may have will soon belong to somebody else anyway. But your physical body would bring a very small price. We're more concerned with just the material body. We're more concerned with the soul. The Bible asks, For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 16:26. You see, friend, man's body is but a place where his soul or his spirit resides, and that but for a while. It is because it will never cease to be. The soul will continue. That's why it is so valuable. Now, you know, a person may change cars, he may change houses, he may change clothes. You might even rid yourself of your body. But you must live with yourself as a spirit, and that for eternity. The soul, you see, outlasts the physical body and all the things of this world. We're speaking here of that which is the inward man, that part of man that has been created in the spiritual image of God, Genesis 1:27. And the fact that Jesus placed such a value on the soul, it proves to me and to you that it is of great value. Each one of us in the sight of God is of great value. And the fact that Jesus died that the spirit might be saved, that shows the value our Lord has placed on the soul. Now someone may say, I don't believe I have a soul. I don't believe that I am a soul. Friend, whether one believes it or not, that's not really the question. Whether the Bible is true or not, that is the question. And the Bible affirms we are souls. We are spirit. But some object on the ground that the soul cannot be seen. It has no measurable weight. But why should we deny something we cannot see in this matter? We accept the reality of many things that we cannot see. We accept the reality of the existence on the basis of evidence. And so it is with the soul of man. Man's thought ability, his mind, his reasoning capacity, his ability to believe, these are evidences that man is not a mere animal. He's not merely physical and nothing more. In Matthew 16 and verse 26, Jesus mentions the losing of the soul. But James speaks also of the saving of the soul in James 1. Paul speaks of the salvation of the soul in 1 Peter 1:9. And he also mentions the purifying of the soul in 1 Peter 1:22. Friends, souls can be beguiled. They can be unstable, 2 Peter chapter 2. But the existence of the soul of man, that's not really debatable when one believes the message of the Bible. Now, what must we do to save our soul in heaven? Well, friend, you must admit the truthfulness of the inspired record that you have and that you are a soul. You have to admit that the soul can be lost in hell as well as can be saved in heaven. You have to admit that the soul shall exist in one of two eternal destinies, either heaven or hell. And you have to admit that you cannot save yourself by yourself. You must acknowledge that God has provided a Savior, and that Savior, the only Savior, is Jesus Christ, His Son. Then, in faith, you must obey the commands to repent of your sins, to confess your faith in Christ, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. And upon your obedience, God adds you to His church, His company of the saved. That's what the church is. It's the body of the saved, Acts 2:47. And once a soul is saved, you are to live faithfully in Christ as His disciple, being the light of the world and the salt of the earth, and as a city that is set on a hill. That's the duty of being a Christian. You must live in the realization that physical death will eventually overtake you, as it will all others. The book of Hebrews says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. And once you realize that you die, you shall be raised, you shall be judged, you shall be sentenced either to heaven or to hell. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to he hath done, whether it be good or bad." And Matthew 25 teaches, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment," that's the wicked, "but the righteous into life eternal." Yes, friend, the Bible teaches you are spirit, and there is immortality of the human being. Physical death is not our end. We shall stand before God. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.